This morning, we celebrate. We celebrate because Christ the Lord is risen. I'd much rather hear you respond with, "He is risen indeed," but that horn sound is a good second. Thank the Lord that He is risen. It's Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. The crowd waved the palm branches as they laid them with garments on the roadway as Jesus passed by. The streets rang with celebration. Hosanna to the Son of David, Matthew tells us in chapter 21. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. No one else even had the remotest idea that Friday was coming. But Jesus did. It was Lamb Selection Day. The streets were teeming with people. The temple was a regular marketplace as everyone was in need of securing a spotless lamb for their annual sacrifice. It wasn't on the mind of any person that God's selection of His spotless lamb for the sins of all mankind had just arrived in Jerusalem. But Jesus did. Jesus made His way to the temple. It was His custom to go to the temple. It wasn't unusual for Him to want to go there. But He knew that trouble was brewing. Jesus created quite the scene as He drove the buyers and sellers who were making the sacred place into a secular place. He knew things no one else knew. You see, Friday was coming. His heart was already breaking. The scene was set in His mind. He knew what was to come. He knew what He would endure. He knew that Friday was coming. He left the city for the night, but returned the next morning. He made His way back to the temple. His disciples couldn't see that there was rhyme and reason for His every move. The chief priests and elders attempted to trap Him. He sidestepped their intentions, and He continued to teach those who would listen. Matthew chapter 21 closes with the words, "And although they were trying to arrest Him, they feared the throngs because they regarded Him as a prophet." But nearly midway into the next chapter, the chief priests are at it again. They're trying to tangle Him. But He confounded them so much that they had to leave Him alone. But it was only for a short time. It's not very long till we see that the Sadducees were asking Him questions, and the Pharisees show up and try to catch Him in something. And by the end of chapter 22, He had put them all to silence. And Matthew says it this way, "And no one was able to answer Him a word, nor from that day did they anyone venture or dare to question Him." Jesus continued to teach those who would listen. But nobody suspected what was fixing to happen. But Jesus did. He taught His disciples. He was trying to prepare His disciples. He longed within His heart that they would understand what was taking place and what they would face. He pointed His disciples to the reality that there would be some dark days ahead. Not just for them, but for all followers of Christ. John records the words of Jesus in chapter 16 of his gospel. "Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer," Jesus said. He told them that day, but He tells us today as well. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, no one else knew what was about to happen on Friday, but Jesus did. His heart was breaking. He knew some people hated him. He knew that there would be some people that would turn away from him. He knew that a close friend would betray him. He knew that his inner circle would fail to feel his deepest agony and would sleep in the garden. He knew that one of his boldest followers who would proclaim his loyalty, but within only a few hours he would deny Christ three times. He knew that all the remaining 11 would run away and hide. Every step of the way, he knew. But he kept walking. He longed to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. They had had a wonderful fellowship that evening. No one understood that the devil was lurking in the shadows. But Jesus knew. Satan had found a foothold in the heart of Judas Iscariot. His disciples still couldn't figure out who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. The message of the kingdom of heaven seemed to be lost in their minds. At some point of the evening, Jesus gets up from the table and he begins to wash their feet. He wanted so much for them to understand that they were called to be servants, not lords. He also knew, even then, that we, his disciples of 2020, would have a difficult time understanding that concept. You see, it's easier to perform the ceremony than it is to take the position of a servant. I can't imagine what was going on in the mind of Christ as he calmly was talking about the one who would betray him. He said, I say unto you, one of you will betray me. Nobody else knew, but Jesus did. Nobody else understood, but Jesus did. Nobody else could grasp all that was taking place, but Jesus knew every detail, and yet he continued on calmly sharing, teaching, and preparing. Jesus talked to his disciples about the great sacrifice that would soon take place. He provided the ordinary items at the Passover meal and made them for sacred use for centuries to come. He lifted up the bread. He broke it, telling them how it was likened to his body being broken for the sins of humanity. He said, take it and eat it, for it is my body that is broken for you. He then lifted the cup of grape juice and shared how it represented his blood that would be shed to cover the sins of humanity, that would signify the New Testament, finalizing the Old Testament animal sacrifices. No one else knew that the first Good Friday was only hours away, but Jesus did. I can imagine that he was breaking on the inside, but the disciples could only sleep. Judas betrayed him for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Now, that really doesn't measure up and mean too much to us today. We don't understand what that is. So let me put it to you this way in this representation. Judas betrayed his Lord for a mere 5 weeks' worth of income. Peter denies the Lord even after a direct warning from Christ. Pilate shows his yellow streak. Herod only wants to see what he, Jesus, can do. A little bit like people today. If you share this with everyone, you know, and if you say amen to this statement, you'll be blessed and greatly rewarded, as though Jesus is some kind of a puppet that we can manipulate on the end of a string. That's all Herod was interested in. I heard about you, Jesus. Why don't you perform some kind of a great feat for me so that I can see the miracles that I've heard about? Finally, Friday came. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. It was about the time of the morning sacrifice that Jesus was crucified on the cross. The only onlookers jeered and sneered and smirked. He was hung up between two common criminals, both of them mocking him, at least both of them temporarily. In the midst of all of that, Jesus asked his Father to forgive them. Every one of them. You want to talk about the depths of forgiveness? Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. They didn't know, he said. But Jesus did. It was about noontime when the sun was obscured and darkness covered the land. God couldn't bear to see his Son carrying the sins of mankind. You see, what he was carrying was all the sins of the church leaders. He was carrying all the sins of the Sadducees, all the sins of the Pharisees, all the sins of the people of the first century, of the second century, the third century, and every century until we get to 2020 and our century. My sins, your sins, and your sins, and yes, your sins. The big sins, the little sins, the ugly sins, the cute sins, the black sins, the white sins. All of mankind's sins were placed on the cross of Jesus so that his blood would forever, forever pay the debt of that sin. But it was oh so dark. It was Friday. Only Jesus knew what it meant. And then it was about the evening time, the evening sacrifice, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." The work of redemption was complete. The earth trembled. The darkness could be felt. The temple veil was torn from top to bottom, making a way for humanity to come to God Himself. Friday had come. Friday was complete. The darkness, the loneliness, the emptiness that nobody could understand, but Jesus knew. I don't think anybody could say it any better than what S.M. Lockridge has said it. He said, "It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter's denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus, see Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday, and Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. Evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. Let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. The Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved, but they don't know it's only Friday and Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, let alone left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. The soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you this morning that Sunday has come. He burst the bands of death. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Peter pens it for us in his first epistle, chapter 3. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Rejoice. Rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. It was Friday, but now it's Sunday. It was Friday. He was dead and placed in a grave, but today it's Sunday, and he is alive. He has risen from the dead. Praise God. And our God reigns. Praise his name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I trust you have a great Lord's Day, a great Resurrection Sunday, celebrating that he is alive and that you can know him as your own personal Lord and Savior because he rose from the grave. If you don't know him this morning, you can. Confess your sins, believe on him, trust in him. If you would like to have prayer before going, please let us know. We'd be happy to pray with you, joining together and bringing you into the family of God because of the price that Jesus paid and he rose from the grave for us today. Praise God.